Well, good morning to you. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 37, which can be found there on page 39. Genesis 37. In our preaching class this quarter, we are doing Old Testament narratives with one another, and we're going to be, for our first series of sermons, going through the life of Joseph, and I'm going to start that off, I guess, this morning. I want to pick up Joseph's story. After he's been favored by his father, given his very colored coat, had dreams of that favored position, and pick up his story where his father has commanded him to go out and check up on his brothers who are out to caring for the flocks and what happens to him there. So we're going to begin with verse 18 of Genesis 37. Hear the word of the Lord. This is speaking of his brothers. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Cast him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Let us pray. Father, we pray this morning that you would, just as you've done already in lifting the fogs off the valley and causing the sun to shine, that where there is fog and spiritual clouds over our hearts, that you would break through that through the light of your word and just remind us what this story instructs us in about having hearts that are sensitive toward people. For we pray it, O God, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, God has written so much of his word in story form, and there might be many reasons for that, but one of them is because people's lives are stories. Our lives are stories. The people to whom you will minister are stories. And just like the Allegheny and the Monongahela get closer and closer together and then form the Ohio River. So it is that people's lives and the stories that are found in God's Word, they're to enter into one another and touch each other. And people are to be transformed by these stories that we see in the Word of God. And I think as we reflect on this particular story before us this morning and think about pastoral ministry, one of the key essentials in entering into pastoral ministry with is to make sure that as we're hearing people's stories, we have a broken heart as we listen and as we watch. Because we're going to have people with situations, not the same, but certainly similar to what we read today. People who've been treated violently, people who are thrown into poverty, people who are even imprisoned, hurt by their own family members. And as we look at the story today, it's really, you can just look at the close in the story and learn something. Now, for me to notice close is somewhat of a miracle in itself, because my wife says I never notice clothes. I don't even notice the things I'm wearing. She puts them out every morning for me. But I did notice the clothes as I studied the story. And as we think about this, let's really reflect on our hearts. First of all, let's think about how we need to let hard providences strip away heart callousness. Hard providences should strip away heart callousness. It's amazing to consider the situation that led to this fateful day where Joseph is sold by his own brothers into slavery. And there are so many things that could have happened to have prevented this from occurring. I didn't read it, but this whole story starts with Jacob, his father, wanting to check on his sons, and he sends Joseph to them. He's again got that favored position. That coat represents more than just he's daddy's favorite boy. It was a sign, really, of his authority. He was being given in the household to go check on his older brothers. And so he goes to where they're supposed to be in Shechem, which was some 50 miles away from where they currently were. And that should put a sense of foreboding into us anyway, because remember what happened in Shechem when these sons of Jacob rendered a great hostility against the people there. But now they've returned there, and so we're starting to see the sense of danger and foreboding that we should be thinking about as we read the story. But when Joseph arrives, his brothers are not there. In those days, they didn't have cell phones to text and say, "Hey, where are you?" But it just so happened there was a man out in the field. And it just so happened that that man had overheard these brothers talking about where they were going, another 14 miles away to the beautiful meadows and vales of Dothan. And it just so happens that this site lay upon a trade route between Midian and Egypt. And when they see Joseph, you noted their reactions, right? They wanted to kill him, kill the dreamer, kill the one who had been favored by his father. Now, Reuben prevents them from doing that, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But something else just so happened to be there, these pits where water was often collected, although at this particular point in the season, they were dry. And we read in verse 23, notice his brother stripped Joseph of his cloak, his tunic, and threw him into one of these pits. You know, that should break our hearts, thinking about family members treating another person that way. And again, sadly, it happens all the time. That's why Joseph's story is one of my favorite stories to turn to whenever I'm in a counseling situation. It seems like no matter what I'm confronted with, Joseph works. And particularly the people who come to us who are broken, who've been betrayed. You know, it's not just a statistic, all those broken families out there. It's a reality. You're learning that across the street. And if you're going to minister to them, you know, almost before you need a lot of Bible knowledge or, you know, the right words to say, all those other things, you've got to listen with a broken heart. I don't care, because so often we want to sit and, as judge and jury over people. As we're hearing them, we automatically say, well, that happened because you did that. I'm sure people who met Joseph down in Egypt could have said the same thing. You're in prison. What did you do? And, oh. But a lot of small yet hard providences lie in everybody's path to bring them to the point where they find themselves. And Psalm 42, verse 7 says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers, your waves have rolled over me. Regardless of how much self-infliction is in anyone's story, we still first and foremost have to recognize that underneath the providences of God. Who, yeah, he may not have given them the grace to escape some things at that point in time, but that doesn't mean that we don't have compassion for them. We need to have these hard providences strip away our heart callousness. Another thing that we need to do, though, as we consider people, is that we need to avoid the half-heartedness of a false compassion. Avoid the half-heartedness of false compassion. We're not told in the story what Joseph did when his brothers mistreated him. We don't get to hear any of his response, but we do get an insight over in chapter 42 of Genesis, verse 21. This is when he's down in Egypt and he's starting to interact with his brothers and bringing some hard providences of his own upon them. And their consciences begin to bother them. And it's amazing, isn't it? It's 20 years have gone by, and when something difficult comes in their lives, you see, they can't escape that conscience. And it says there, they said to one another, truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. His words, his cries were still in their ears. Those echoes 20 years previously. You can only imagine. No, no, don't do this to me. No, no, please, Reuben, Gad, Simeon, Levi, don't put me down here. Don't kill me, first of all. Then there's a pause. Some time goes by. And then he sees them getting ready to get him out of the pit. Maybe a little bit of hope arose in his heart. And then as he's drawn up, he begins to realize they've sold him into slavery. No, no, don't send me away from my father, from you. Please spare my life. Please, not this. And yet they didn't listen. Matter of fact, we know what they did while he was in the pit. They ate a meal, a sign of their hardness of heart. Yet we might see some glimmer of hope here, because at least one brother showed that he was impacted, in part at least, by the situation. Reuben, he's the one as the eldest who tries to prevent at the beginning his brothers from putting to death Joseph. And then later on, he comes back. He must have gone away for a period of time, maybe looking at over the flocks, whatever it was, but he's drawn away for a period of time. And when he comes back, he realizes that his brothers have sold Joseph into slavery. And you'll notice there in the scriptures, it says in verse 29, here come the clothes again. He tore his clothes. And it looks like he's really broken. What am I going to do about this? And it looks like he's really broken over the situation. And yet, I think a proper understanding of Reuben is that this is really only half-heartedness, a false compassion at its best. And the scriptures testify to that, in that he went along with his brothers and deceiving his father. And what was he doing leaving this explosive situation anyway? Why wasn't he there through the whole part of it? So he wasn't truly broken over his brother. If he was really, really broken, he would have hightailed it down and bought his brother back at whatever price it cost him and chased those traitors down the road, even if he had to go all the way to Egypt in order to do it. If he was truly broken, he wouldn't have allowed 2 decades to go by before the real story came out. True compassion means that you suffer with people. That's what it literally means. That you get personally involved with people. That you just don't notice a situation like the Levite and the priest who saw the man that the Samaritan eventually cared for, but that you're sensitive and you enter and you feel. That's what I want to end with this morning, is feeling. Can we Reformed folk talk about that a little bit? About emotion and feeling. Let's feel for a few moments the heart suffering of the Father. These brothers come back with that torn tunic. It's been dipped in goat's blood. A story's been made up about how Joseph must have fallen victim to wild animals. And Jacob believes them. He had no other reason to not believe them. And in verse 34, there it says that Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And this anguish didn't leave him. He truly did love his son. And this pain that he was feeling was real and true and powerful. And I want you to think of another father who sent his son to check on his workers. And they mistreated him as well. Mocked him, stripped him naked. And yet, there was no one there to prevent his death as they nailed him to the cross at Calvary. And we know that as Jesus was entering into his passion and then suffered his passion, his heart was troubled. He was grieving. The scriptures, the gospels bear great testimony to that fact. I mean, he even cries out on the cross to his father about the forsakenness he felt on that day. How did the father feel? Does scripture give us testimony to our heavenly father's feelings the day he saw his son so mistreated, so attacked, and the vileness of this world placed upon him, the brokenness of people placed on his son? I think the Gospels do, because the sun darkened, the earth quaked, and at the end of it all, the symbol we usually think about entering into fellowship with that Father may be indicating something else to us. When the veil of that temple, representing the immediate presence of God, was ripped from top to bottom. God's heart rending as he saw what his son had to suffer. Counsel, yes. Preach, yes. Study, yes. But feel, friend. Feel. Our God feels the suffering and the brokenness of this world. That's what the cross of Calvary is showing us, is love, is care for people. As we look at that cross and then seek to bring that story to bear upon the stories of others, may we feel as we do so. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And as we reflect and meditate on these stories, we pray, O God, that you would bless us and that you would make us more equipped to minister to others for your sake and glory. Through Jesus we ask it. Amen.